Chapter 1. Big Daddy. At the dawn of America's second Gilded Age, and on the eve of the 21st century's first financial crash, the managers of a few dozen hedge funds emerged as the unofficial kings of capitalism. Globalization was generating unheralded prosperity, and the prosperity was generating deep pools of wealth. And the wealth was being parked in quiet funds, whose managers profited mightily. Just in the 3 years from 2003 to 2006, the volume of money in the top 100 hedge funds doubled to $1 trillion, enough to buy all shares listed on the Shanghai Stock Exchange, or an entire year's worth of output from the Canadian economy. Nobody doubted that this hedge fund phenomenon was new, unprecedented, and symbolic of the era. Running a few $100 million for a hedge fund and taking tens of millions for yourself has become the going Wall Street dream, one magazine writer declared. Hedge funds are the ultimate in today's stock market, the logical extension of the current gunslinging go-go cult of success, according to another. But hedge funds are not new and not unprecedented. And whereas the first line just quoted comes from a New York Magazine article published in 2004, the second comes from a remarkably similar essay, also in New York Magazine, published 4 decades earlier. The 2004 article gushed that hedge fund managers are the type who can call the direction of the market correctly 22 days in a row. The 1968 version invoked the hedge fund guy who made 20% on his money in a week for 7 weeks in a row. The 2004 essay complained of hedge funds that, in addition to being arrogant and insular, they're also clandestine. The 1968 version said peevishly that most people involved in hedge funds are reluctant to talk about their success. If hedge fund managers had emerged as the it boys of the new century, if they had supplanted the leveraged buyout barons of the 1980s and the dot-com wizards of the 1990s, it was worth remembering that they were also the hot stars of an earlier era. A hedge fund manager can be away from the market and still know where its rhythm and his are meshing, according to a famous account of the 1960s boom. If you really know what's going on, you don't even have to know what's going on to know what's going on. You can ignore the headlines because you anticipated them months ago. The largest legend of the first hedge fund era was Alfred Winslow Jones, the founding father, whom we have encountered already. He was described in New York Magazine's 1968 essay as the Big Daddy of the industry, but he was an unlikely Wall Street patriarch. Like many of the hedge fund titans of a future age, he changed the nature of finance while standing somewhat aloof from it. In 1949, when Jones invented his hedged fund, the profession of money management was dominated by starchy conservative types, known tellingly as trustees. Their job was merely to conserve capital, not to seek to grow it. The leading money management companies had names like Fidelity and Prudential, and they behaved that way too. A good trustee was, in the words of the writer John Brooks, a model of unassailable probity and sobriety. His white hair neatly, but not too neatly combed, his blue Yankee eyes untwinkling. But Jones was cut from different cloth. By the time he turned his hand to finance, he had experimented restlessly with multiple careers. He kept the company of writers and artists, not all of them sober. And although he was to become the father of hyper-capitalist hedge funds, he had spent a good portion of his youth flirting with Marxism. Jones was born in the ninth hour of the ninth day of the ninth month of 1900, a fact with which he would bore his family years later. He was the son of an expatriate American who ran the Australian operations of General Electric. According to Jones' family lore, they owned the first car in Australia. A formal photograph from that time shows the three-year-old Alfred wearing a white sailor cap with a white jacket. On one side of him sits his father in a stiff, winged collar. On the other side is his mother in an elaborate feathered hat. After the family returned to GE's company headquarters in Schenectady, New York, Alfred went to school there and followed in the family tradition of